to Betlands this week, a load of us, and there were constant applause all through the services when people agreed with what was said up the front, and I thought, I wonder if I'll get a clap at any point. So at the start, brilliant. Okay, so happy Easter, everyone. Okay, Mark 6, verse 6 says, "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they have laid him." You know, Jesus Christ has risen. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's start this afternoon by asking the question, what does Easter Sunday mean to us? As a child, Easter Sunday for me ranked quite high up there as a day worth waking up for. Christmas Day was by far the best, but Easter wasn't far behind. Those of you who know me will know my love of chocolate, that it ranks very high there amongst my favourite foods, although I'm just going to add in there, quality chocolate, that is, not the cheap stuff, okay? It was far more about the chocolate than the eggs, because I don't know what your families were like, but I grew up in a family that believed in value for money. So we didn't have chocolate eggs. We had bars of chocolate with our favourite sweets by the side. Much better value, you see. And they didn't actually last any longer. I imagine if we asked a lot of people around today what was Easter about, a lot of them would say Easter eggs, because that was presented to us, isn't it? So I was going to spend a bit of time looking up and explaining where the tradition of Easter eggs came from. They've certainly been linked with the Easter story, but I thought I'd just encourage you to go away and see how they're linked with the Easter story. But what we do know is that the heart of Easter is certainly not eggs, is it? So if Easter isn't about chocolate and it isn't about eggs, what is it about? Well, it's about celebrating that Jesus rose from the dead and everything that that means. Have you ever really thought about what that really meant, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead on Easter Sunday? It struck me that I've thought a lot about Jesus' death on the cross, how he suffered the most cruel death, how he paid the price for all of our sins to allow me to have this most amazing relationship with my Father in heaven. But what's the significance of the fact that Jesus rose from the dead? And what impact does that have on my life? So to help us consider this, I'd like to look at two passages from Scripture. So the first is in Acts chapter 2. And let me just set the scene for this passage for those of you who might not know. So it's Sunday morning at sunrise, and Jesus' disciples and their followers are still reeling from the events of the last few days. Their leader and their friend Jesus was taken from them at the Garden of Gethsemane. He was tried, and he was wrongly convicted, and he was sentenced to death. Imagine how they must have felt. Their leader, who they had believed was going to save them, was about to be nailed to a cross. Were they next? Had they followed the wrong man? I imagine they were very frightened and very scared. Peter, who was one of Jesus' closest friends, denied even knowing him. Then Jesus had hung on that cross for hours, many of them watching from a distance because they didn't want to be spotted. And finally, it was over. He was pronounced dead by the Roman officials. He was taken away, and he was placed in a tomb before the start of the Sabbath. They would have to wait another day before they could prepare his body for burial. 24 hours probably doesn't sound like a very long length of time, does it? But actually, if you're waiting for something to happen, something really important, it's like an eternity, isn't it? So these disciples, these friends of Jesus, were huddled in the room, scared and frightened for those 24 hours whilst they waited for the opportunity to bury their leader properly. They'd followed him. They'd learnt from him. And now, at last, it was Sunday morning, and they ran off to the tomb, only to find that the body isn't there. What's going on? Where is Jesus? You know, over the next few hours, days, and weeks, Jesus begins to appear to them to show them that he's alive, he's risen, and it's not all over. He reminded them of the scriptures and all that had been written about these events, these Easter events. He helped them understand the events of Easter weekend. He forgave Peter for denying him, and he prepared them for the task ahead. They no longer appeared to be frightened and scared, but they were ready to follow Jesus into the future. So after 40 days after rising from the dead, Jesus then ascends up into heaven, and the disciples have to wait again yet another 10 days for God's promised Holy Spirit. And this is where we pick up the story in Acts 2. God's Holy Spirit has come on Jesus' followers, and you know, the first thing that Peter does is he preaches about the resurrection of Jesus. And this is what he says. So in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 to 24, he says, "People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip." And then Peter tells of King David's prophecies back in the Old Testament, and he follows them with these words in verses 31 to 33. "David was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven, at God's right hand, and the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today." And then in verse 36 it says, "So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah." You know, this great sermon took place just 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. And in it, Peter was saying that he had seen the risen Jesus, and they were all witnesses, and they were prepared to testify to the fact. Isn't it interesting that just 50 days earlier, these men and these women, they were frightened, they were scared to even be seen with Jesus, and now they were standing in Jerusalem, boldly proclaiming not only that they knew Jesus, but that he was the promised Messiah that they had all been waiting for. Down through the ages, there have been many theories, there have been many arguments put forward about what happened to the body, such as perhaps Jesus wasn't actually dead, they'd gone to the wrong tomb, perhaps the disciples had stolen the body to fake the resurrection, the authorities stole the body, and many others, in fact. We haven't got time tonight to look into all of these theories, but if you have any doubt at all that Jesus rose from the dead, then I'd encourage you to go away, to look at the evidences and the arguments for his resurrection, because they are there. Come and speak to one of us, and we'll point you at how you can look into that. But this passage in Acts 2, I believe, helps to confirm that Jesus did rise. Peter spoke forthrightly about the resurrection. As Peter preached, the events of Christ's death and resurrection, they were still hot news. They'd happened within the last 2 months. Christ's execution had been carried out publicly before many witnesses. His empty tomb was still available for people to go and see. If Christ had not truly died, you know, Peter's message would have just been laughed at, or it would have been ignored. If Christ had not been resurrected, the authorities could have produced the body and put an end to this new faith. But instead of all of that, what happened was Peter's words pierced people to the heart, and they asked what they should do. And this is what Peter replied. He said, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God." And then it says, and 3,000 people became followers of Jesus that day. You know, I love that when Peter stood there and he preached about the resurrection of Jesus, 3,000 were added to their number today. Wow, wouldn't it be great, right, if 3,000 people in this community were actually added to the numbers today? Definitely something to think about. So what had the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead meant to those men and those women? Well, they were changed, first of all. They were changed from frightened, scared people into bold, fearless men of God who spent the rest of their lives preaching the good news, and many of them were even killed for their faith. They were so convinced that Jesus had risen from the dead that they gave their lives to share it. Peter was at one time scared to even be known as his friend. You remember he denied Jesus 3 times, and now he couldn't stop shouting about him. The disciples, it says, were changed from quivering wrecks to men of courage and boldness. So then I'd like to ask the question, what about us? What about the world today? What does the resurrection of Jesus mean to you, to us? What does it mean to us today? And then to look at this, I'd like to consider another passage in the New Testament in a book called 1 Corinthians, which was written by one of my favorite Bible characters, Paul. And in the 15th chapter, he explains the significance of the resurrection of Jesus. So firstly, Paul writes, and he reminds us, first of all, of the facts that Jesus died for our sins. So in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 8, he says, I passed on to you what was most important and what has also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the 3rd day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all of the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. Then Paul tells them that their faith would be meaningless if there'd been no resurrection. He writes in verses 17 to 19, and if Christ had not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. And then in verse 20, he goes on again to proclaim that Jesus was resurrected. So I ask, what does the resurrection mean? Well, firstly, the resurrection of Christ means that he was the Son of God, that he was who he said he was, and his word, the Bible here, it can be trusted. As the Apostle Paul said, if Jesus hasn't risen from the dead, our faith is completely useless. The scriptures were wrong, they didn't speak the truth, and we should throw away the Bible and look for a true Savior. But you know, the tomb was empty. Jesus did rise from the dead, and the prophecies in his word here came true, and we can trust his word. You know, the book, the Bible, God's word, is given to us. And it's full of so many promises for us, for our lives, for our future. Let's just pause for a minute and just think of some of the promises that there are in his word. So the first one that sprung to mind was 1 John 2, verse 17. And that says, and this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Isn't that a great promise? Whoever pleases God will live forever. And then Jeremiah 29, verse 11, I'm sure you know this one. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You know, we've got a great future in God. And then Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7, another favorite. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How great he promises us a peace that transcends all understanding. And then another, Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And one of my favorite promises, I couldn't leave this out, Romans 8, 38 and 39. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What an amazing promise. Nothing will ever separate us from God's love. You know, I could go on and on and on, couldn't I? But I'm going to leave you to go home, to look up in his word all those great promises and remind yourself of them tonight. You know, we can celebrate today because he has risen and these promises, they will come true. Again, the resurrection means he is the Son of God, and that means he can be trusted. You know, there is nothing in our lives that we can't trust to him. Imagine a life completely free of stress and worry because you give it all to God, because you can trust him. You can have that life, you know. He has risen and he has proved in rising that he can be trusted. I have this friend, Dewi, and he's been diagnosed with terminal cancer. Yet he stood up in church the other week and he pronounced that God is good. You know, how can he do that? Well, I believe he can do that because Jesus has risen and he knows he can trust his Father with his life, he can trust his Father with his future, and he can trust his Father with his family. Are there things, perhaps, that you are struggling to trust to God today? As I prepared that, I thought, if I'm going to ask questions, I should think about them myself. And I thought, is this something, perhaps, that I find hard to trust to God? And I thought, probably the hardest thing I find to trust to God is perhaps my children, because I love them and I want the best life imaginable for them. I'm sure as parents you can identify with that. But then I have to remind myself that God wants exactly the same thing for them. And I know that because it says so in his word. And isn't he more able to deliver that than I am? He created this amazing universe, so why wouldn't I? And you know, I'm thankful that Jesus rose from the dead, so therefore his word is true, and I can learn to trust my kids to God every day. So I want to say to you, give him a chance, trust him, he'll not let you down. You know, we can celebrate today because he has risen and we have a God that we can trust our lives to. Guys, the resurrection also means that his sacrifice for our sin was acceptable to God, so we can be completely forgiven. We are completely forgiven for everything that we've ever done, and there is nothing that we have done in our life that cannot be forgiven by God. Let me tell you about a guy who went to the church that I went to in Swansea when I was at university. And his name was David Hamilton, and he grew up in Northern Ireland. At a young age, he got very involved in the conflicts over there, and he joined the Ulster Volunteer Force. As a member of this force, his life, it says, was peppered with violence and with murder. He was repeatedly shot, he orchestrated bombings and bank robberies, and he brought terror to the streets of Northern Ireland. I remember him standing there sharing some of the horrific stories that were true to him, and he wasn't proud of any of them, I have to say. But you know, in 1978, he was sentenced to 11 years in the notorious Mays prison over there. And he said that whilst in prison, he smoked his way through Matthew, through Mark, through Luke, and through John, and then eventually he turned to God and he gave his life to him, and he was completely transformed by God. He was forgiven for every horrific crime that he had ever done. And he moved out of Northern Ireland because his life was very much at threat there. Since then, he has devoted his life to sharing his story. If you want to know a bit more about it, Google David Packy Hamilton. If you just Google David Hamilton, you get the wrong man. And he's run a drug rehab center to help people on drugs, and now he's the pastor of a church in Stockport. You know, I know him, I've met him, and I can say he is truly a man that was transformed by encountering the risen Christ. Although I have to say, it's not just people that have committed extreme crimes that need forgiveness and their lives changed. The Bible, again, talks about many sins, and they range from murder to gossip. They range from adultery to telling lies, but none of them are out beyond the reach of God's forgiveness. I guess there are many testimonies in this room tonight of people whose lives have been changed by the forgiveness of God. So the resurrection meant changed lives for the early followers. It meant a changed life for David Hamilton, and it can mean changed lives for every one of us here today. Lives free from guilt, from sin, lives full of love, joy, and peace, and ultimately and eternally, lives free from pain, from suffering, and from tears. You know, we can celebrate today because he has risen, and you know, our sins are forgiven. And also, the resurrection of Jesus means that our Savior is alive and active. He's able to help us in our times of need. I don't know about you, but do you feel alone right now? Are you facing perhaps a difficult situation and you feel like you're facing it alone? Well, you don't need to, because Christ is alive and he is with us. I think at this point of a lady called Carly Fiorini. I've told her story before, I think, when I've spoken. She was once the CEO of Hewlett Packard in America. And she actually ran against Donald Trump for the head of the Republican Party. Shame she didn't beat him, eh? But you know, in her life, she has suffered many difficult situations. Firstly, she was forced out of her position as the CEO of Hewlett Packard. And then far worse than that, she became ill and she battled cancer. And then worse than that again, her daughter, she said, was unable to face her own demons. And one day she chose to end her life. Yet, you know, Carly, she stood up and she gave her testimony, and in it she said that through it all, she was never alone. You know, there are countless stories of Christians who, even though life is tough, have proclaimed that God is good because they haven't faced it alone and they have experienced the risen Savior in their life. Their lives and their ability to live life completely changed because they have a risen Savior. You know, we can celebrate because he has risen and we are never alone. And I couldn't leave out the fact that the power that raised Christ from the dead is the exact same power that we experience as we walk in Christ today. The same power that raised Christ from the dead will help us to face life's trials and life's joys. It will help us to forgive all of those that wrong us, to live a bold life of witness for Jesus, to do all that we are called to do in him, and to face everything that life throws at us. And ultimately, the same power that will one day bring us through death to eternal life. So guys, we can celebrate today because Jesus has risen from the dead. And one day, guys, we will too. And all of this we've talked about, rests on the fact that on Easter Sunday, some 2,000 years ago, the tomb was empty and Jesus did rise from the dead. As I prepared for this evening, the words of an old song that we used to sing, I didn't used to necessarily sing up the front, but we used to sing, came to mind, and they are so true, and they go like this: I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. You know, guys, for me, I know I serve a risen Savior because he is part of my life every day. He does talk to me. I can say that. He is my best friend. He knows my deepest longings. He knows my inmost thoughts. You know, when I'm broken, he really does hold me close. And when I'm celebrating, he's definitely celebrating with me. When we were in Spring Harvest, there was a lady, Paula Gooder. She was a theologian, and she said this: Christ's death frees us from sin and death, but his resurrection frees us to a new life in Christ. We read earlier, in the 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to many people. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, he appeared to Peter, to the disciples, he appeared to Thomas, to the two on the Emmaus Road, to many, many more. You know, he is a relational God, and I believe he appeared to all these people partly to rebuild relationships with them. You know, Peter, he wanted to go back to him. He wanted to forgive him. He wanted him to know he was forgiven. And he wants to rebuild a relationship with you. So how does the resurrection of Jesus affect your life? He has risen, so will you open your eyes and allow him to appear to you, to build a relationship with you, to give you a new life in him? Will you let him transform you like he transformed the first disciples into bold witnesses for him? You know, the resurrection of Jesus is so about changed lives. And my prayer is that this year we hear story after story after story of lives changed by encountering and walking with a risen Jesus. But one last thing, let's not forget that Jesus did not just die and rise again for those of us in this room. And he didn't just die and rise again for those of us worshiping across the country and across the world today. He died for every person that we will encounter every day. He died for our families. He died for our friends. He died for our neighbors. He died